Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our book club pick, Leadership as an Identity, the Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence, written by Crawford Loritz. We are on chapter 12. The title is The Dignity of Serving. Now, we are coming to the end of this book. I think it's about 16 chapters in this book. So we're in the latter part, but I highly, highly, highly recommend this book to anybody that is pursuing leadership or is in a leadership role. This book has such a sobering dose of reality and wisdom that I believe every leader, whether you're leading a business, a small group, or just your home, everybody needs to read this book, in my opinion. So please go pick it up. The link to it will be in the show notes. And even if you can't catch up with us here on the podcast, I still want you to read this book in your own time. And as usual, whether you are reading it or not, I try to do every episode in a way to where you are still getting the wisdom and the insight that it has to offer. With us being at the end of this book, I'm still stuck on what we should read next. We have read Joyce Meyer, Battlefield of the Mind so far. We've read this book on leadership. I'm toying between a more business-related book that's not necessarily faith-based, and between that and a Christian book that is just strictly about strengthening your faith. Specifically, I wanted to read an apologetics book because I just feel like that is very necessary in this time for us to understand the foundations of what we believe. And I also think that that would be best to read before a strictly business book so that we could take the correct perception of our faith and the correct understanding of our faith into something that may be more secular as far as being a business book. So as I'm talking it out, I do think that I'm going to go the apologetics route, but I'm going to pray about it, pray on finding the right book. And then hopefully I could tell you guys what it is within the next week or two so that you can get the book and get started reading before we do our first book club pick. But we're still here in Leadership as an Identity. Again, this is chapter 12, The Dignity of Serving. Every chapter starts out with a scripture and a quote. The scripture here is John 13, verses 3 through 5, which says, Jesus laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. The quote is from Jim Rees. It says, people desire to be led, but you earn the right to lead by doing the hard work of serving. Before we dive in, can I tell y'all that it was not until chapter 12, page 155 of this book, that I realized that Crawford Loritz, the author, is a Black man. I had no clue. This book was referred to me. It was a recommendation by somebody that I respect in the faith. And so, you know, with books for me, I'm gonna read the reviews. I'm gonna read the description. I'm gonna do like a preview on like iBooks or Amazon or something like that to just kind of see, you know, what's this book talking about before I decide to purchase. And then as I read, I always read with openness, but also a level of skepticism, especially with faith-based books, because I want to make sure that what you're talking about is in alignment with the word and you're not just pulling scriptures to sprinkle over what you think. And we caught Joyce Meyer in that a couple times in the Battlefield of the Mind book. But I don't always go do or rarely go do like a deep dive of the author if I don't know who the author is already. I just take their piece of content for what it is. And so it was so funny as I was reading this, he mentions and as he introduces this chapter that he's an African-American. And I said, he's a what? And I went and Googled him real quick and said, you know what? You sure are. I had no idea that this man was Black. And I sent a voice note to one of my friends. And I was like, I am 12 chapters into this book because, of course, she knows that we're reading this on a podcast. And I was like, I did not know that this man was Black. I was totally taken aback by him once he said it. And then I went and looked him up. She was like, girl, you didn't know that by his name being Crawford, that he was a Black man? I said, no, I definitely thought he was a Southern white. I had no idea that this man was Black. And not that it matters, but I just had this perception of who I thought he was based on reading this book. And then being an old Black man just simply wasn't it. And so it was a pleasant surprise. And also with me being a Black woman, reading a book that I respect this much and admire this much, and someone who clearly is so accomplished in the leadership world and doing things for the Lord, for this to be a Black man, it does make me a little bit more excited. I can't admit that, because you just don't see many Black people who are thought leaders of this caliber in Christian culture. A lot of the top evangelicals in this Christian space who have made moves a lot of times are not Black. So it just made me excited to see that Crawford Loritz is Uncle Crawford in the most respectful way. But nevertheless, he starts off this chapter by saying, when you think about it, the word servant may cause you to picture someone who is controlled by someone else, someone who has no freedom, no independence. It may not be a positive picture for you. In fact, I have to tell you that as an African American, the words servant and slave are linked in my mind. Those words are reminders of that dark, painful period in the history of our country when my relatives were the property of white plantation owners. They were regarded as less than human and incapable of doing anything beyond menial tasks and serving the needs of those who controlled their lives. So to me, there is not a whole lot of dignity associated with servant, just the opposite. I'm so glad that he brought this up. And I wrote in the margin here that this is such an important combo, because a lot of Black people just really struggle with being able to reconcile the fact that the same religion that was used to keep our people enslaved and oppressed for so long is the same one that they are supposed to embrace. And so when you get that argument from Black people who do not want to be associated with Christianity or who choose other religions, or many go to African spirituality as an attempt to connect with their roots, that thought process or that rejection of the faith is understandable completely, because a big part of our role as Christians is to be servants. And just like he mentioned here, when you think of servant, for many people, especially those in his generation, the word servant or to think of yourself as a servant can be quite triggering. And so even if you don't reject the faith altogether, it can still be difficult to reconcile this aspect of your identity and your responsibility as a child of God. And so I'm so glad that he brought this up and has this whole chapter that discusses the dignity of serving, because some people, based upon your background, your history, your culture, Seeing servanthood as dignified may take a little bit of work. And this chapter really put a mirror up to me personally because it made me ask the question to myself of, do you look at serving as a dignified role? And if I'm being honest with you, my answer is no. What's yours? Do you look at you serving people around you, you serving in your business? Do you take pride in that? Do you have that Chick-fil-A approach to where you know when you go to Chick-fil-A, they ask, hey, how may I help you versus what you want? When you go to the counter to place your order, when you want sauces, they ask, how many would you like versus 50 cents for every sauce or whatever that you'll get at other fast food type of places. When you are ordering from them, they always say, my pleasure. That's just universal amongst all Chick-fil-A. So there's this culture of this dignity to serve there. And I asked myself this question, and I want you to ask yourself this question of, do you take that same approach to how you deal with the Lord's people? And not just in business, but in all dealings. The author even calls us out on it. He says, even if you don't share my frame of reference in talking about the idea of servanthood as an African American, he's saying, my guess is that you probably consider the role of leader to carry more dignity than that of a servant. Most of us have an unofficial criteria or pecking order to categorize people. That way, we can determine who is more important, whom we want to emulate, and with whom we want to associate. You know the game. We often tend to judge others' worth by the degrees they've earned, by the luster of their profession, or by the size of their home or bank account. And the people who serve us, those people who take our orders at restaurants, or make our beds in hotels, or fix the brakes on our cars, or those who report to us at work, they are somehow less important, less worthy. As leaders, we need to be wary of the temptation to devalue people. It's pretty easy and seductive to think of ourselves as part of the rare air crowd because others don't have the recognition, education, or the accomplishments that we may have. It's easy to conclude that we're the ones who deserve to be pampered and treated as special. Certainly, leadership carries with it the weight of responsibility and additional accountability, but we are not special because we are leaders. You know what this made me think about? How dangerous ambition can be, because in what ways does our ambition and our pursuit of whatever goals we may have, in what ways does that unintentionally make us minimize the role of being a servant? Because the author is right in that we categorize people. And I believe our desire to achieve can make us unintentionally look down upon the servant role. And we may not want to admit that because you may not really be somebody who looks down on the person who makes the bed at the hotels or who serves at the restaurant. It may not be top of mind for you or really in your character to look down upon those people. But at the same time, when it comes to your business, your leadership role, will you emulate Jesus in John 13, 3 and 5, where we started this book off with, or this chapter off with, where it says again, Jesus laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So here we have Jesus, just as much God as he is man, who first of all, the Lord loved us so much that he made himself flesh, that he willingly gave up some of his power and authority to become man. Not only did he do that first in just the existence of Jesus, but two, Jesus being the Messiah, walking on earth with these disciples who he has been teaching them and training them and all up until this point, he further humbled himself by washing his servants' feet. Would you exercise that same level of servanthood in your business, in your ministry, in whatever capacity that you lead? Will you take it this far? I don't know about y'all, but this is why I have to stay at the foot of the Father, because in my flesh, my answer will be no. But in my humility and my commitment to him, my answer has to be yes. And so that inner struggle of looking at this level of servanthood as a dignified role is something that has to be submitted to him so that he can prune me and continue to work on my heart in that way. So the same thing for you. I like to pose questions in these episodes because I want us to be honest. I want us to be vulnerable about how we show up in our roles, in the ways in which we don't show up as we should, so that we can take that to the Lord and he can continue to work on us. I have highlighted here, he says, God never gives a leader a pass when it comes to loving and honoring the people around him or her. It's not a choice between getting the job done or treating people with love, respect, and dignity. It's all of the above. Unfortunately, too many leaders love the tasks, but just tolerate the people. That was good. Too many leaders love the tasks, but just tolerate the people. They are real getter-doners. They place high priority on getting the job done, but to them, people are an expendable commodity. It's difficult for them to express appreciation or communicate value to those they lead. They have little sense of their responsibility to serve the people that they lead. This is a mindset shift that I believe has to happen for entrepreneurs in particular, because a lot of our servanthood as it relates to the people that we lead or serve on an employee level, a lot of the thought process is, okay, I'm going to serve them because I need to retain them, because it costs too much for me to replace them, because it's too much work for me to go and hire and interview, et cetera. So I'm going to serve them as I need to keep them around. And so that's where we get into that space of, like we talked about in a previous episode, where servanthood becomes more of a strategy than a way of life. And so for us as business owners, in addition to serving those who patron our businesses, we also have to serve those who work for our businesses as well. By treating them with dignity, love, and respect, and communicating with them and valuing them, not just because of what they can do for us, but because that is our job. And these are also God's children, period. And that's going to go against what the gurus say in business, because it's all about you getting ahead, how people could help you reach your next whatever, how people could push your company forward. But that's not how we do business as Christians. We serve those who assist us in God's vision. It's not about us. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. And that doesn't just start with our products and services. That starts with us as individuals serving him well and living righteously. And also by everybody we come in contact with and how we treat them. He says, Jim Reese says, the biggest thing on my heart is the people the Christian leader is responsible for. He feels nobody should step into leadership without a willingness to assume responsibility for the people he leads. I've seen so many wounded people by poor leaders who didn't take that responsibility seriously. I'm sure we will stand before God and he will give us a report card on just how well we did this. How many times did we do it out of selfish ambition rather than a heart for God and our people? I've seen this temptation even come up for me as it relates to this podcast. I consider myself to be a leader on this platform. I remember very vividly when the Lord told me to switch the podcast over to Blessed and Bossed Up, when he told me to do it by myself, when he told me to teach people how to make him the CEO of their businesses. I remember that like it was yesterday, and it feels like it was yesterday. And so with this podcast, while successful, while monetized as a product in and of itself through advertisers, while it serves my business as well as a marketing channel, I look at this as a specific assignment that the Lord has given me that I take very seriously. I look at this as a community that I lead. And I feel personally responsible for the things that I say on this platform. And so this week in particular, I had been struggling a bit. Well, I would say the last couple of weeks. I was telling my husband the other day that I had just been struggling a bit with the show, just because there's a few things happening in my world. and specifically the series we've been doing, Bible on Business, that takes a lot longer as far as like preparation for the episode and all of that. It takes longer than most podcast episodes have before. And it also takes a lot more time than I currently have due to other things that are happening in my life. And the other things that I have going on take precedent over the podcast. The podcast can't come before the other things that I'm tending to, because that's just not the order that the Lord calls us to live in. So for me, it's brought me a level of frustration because I have this pressure to where I feel like I have to do certain things in order to meet the metrics for advertisers and such. Because if I don't meet these goals, that could impact my earning potential. And in this season of my life, earning potential is particularly important because I have goals and things that I'm getting ready to do that require money. And so taking pay cuts anywhere is definitely not something that I am looking to do. But what this chapter reminded me of, what prayer reminded me of, what talking to my husband reminded me of, is that my number one priority is to be responsible with this platform. So I can't, there are certain things I can do that are still in alignment with the Lord that can circumvent some of my frustrations. I could post an old episode as an example, but I didn't necessarily want to do that. But this chapter, it just reminded me of, and my husband reminded me of in prayer, it was like, if you have to take a pay cut or negatively impact your earning potential in order to continue to stay faithful to the message and not shortchange anything for the sake of getting an episode out, that's simply what you're going to have to do.
This episode is brought to you by IXL Learning. Parents, now y'all know this homework that we help these kids with is not the homework that we did when we were growing up. Do you feel like your child is asking questions on their homework and you don't quite have the answers? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I love how IXL makes learning fun and adapts to the level of your specific child. Funny enough, I learned that this upcoming fall, my son's school actually uses IXL, and I'm so excited to become an official IXL parent. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids, and you save time. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. You save money, so if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Ladies, can we talk for a second? Do you ever feel yourself being overwhelmed by hormonal changes? You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors that are living rent-free in our environment right now. I mean, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, everything, they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the normal hormonal changes that our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. I've been vocal often about taming my inner hustler because there's this person in me that I used to be where I will outwork everybody. I would always say I'm going to be on the block before everybody and after everybody goes. You will never outwork me. I took pride in that, but that was, of course, pride. Me being someone who's been transformed by the Lord, that's not me anymore. But my flesh, she's still in there. And so sometimes she crawls up and tries to take control and she got to get put right back down. And I thank God for this book because it was confirmation of what I was already wrestling with internally, going back and forth with my inner hustler. And it reminded me of, hey, your selfish ambition has no place here. And even the language here where he says the Lord is going to give us a report card. I think about this often when temptation comes to be self-reliant or for pride to take over. I think about if I stood before the Lord and he judged my decision in this moment, how would that make me feel? And I had to choose to be a servant leader instead. And so I bring that up because I want to highlight, as we have with many other chapters, there's always going to be temptation to not lead this way, to not take dignity and pride in being a servant. There's always going to be that temptation to fall into self-reliance, for your ambition to take over, for your the way in which you categorize people to cause you to treat the CEO better than you treat the janitor. That temptation is going to be there because we're wrapped in flesh and human nature. However, we have to choose differently and choose better. I also have highlighted here, he says, one of the convictions I have developed throughout the years is that those who work with me or report to me should feel as if I have invested more in them than I have asked them to give. I want them to be better people because they've hung around Crawford Loritz. Even if they profoundly disagree with me, I never want them to feel as if I did not love them or care about who they are as people. Admittedly, this has not always been easy to do, especially when I've had to make a tough decision that collides with the position someone on my staff takes, or when someone is not performing well in their job. But even in these circumstances, even when you need to let someone go, it's possible to let people know that you value them and care about them. I love that he said this because it's practical and it's an important mindset to have top of mind. As someone who wants to operate in dignity as a servant, if you keep to the top of your mind, I want people to be better as a result of being around me, then you'll begin to behave that way. So for those of you who like to have your devotions or your affirmation time or whatever in the morning, add that to your prayer journal or your prayers to say, God, allow me to keep top of mind that I want people to be better as a result of being around me. I want people to want to know you more as a result of the way in which you move through me. I want people to feel safe and comfortable around me to where we can have conversations about you where I could pour into them or serve them in whatever way is the most beneficial. So instead of praying about what we want from the Lord every day and how we want him to bless us, I challenge us all to ask the Lord to hold us accountable, ask the Holy Spirit to keep this top of mind as we go throughout our days, because it's only going to make us better servants. The author says, our natural tendency to judge and classify people leads us to make some wrong conclusions about the word dignity. Dignity is not something you acquire or arrive at after years of outstanding accomplishments and achievements. You are not dignified because of your family name or reputation, or because you are well known to others. It's not something you earn by becoming a doctor, a lawyer, or a successful business person. Dignity is tied to the nature of being human. Dignity is the enormous weight and value that every person is born with because we are created in the image of God. Dignity is God's signature written on the soul of every human being. It's as if God says every person has weight and value because they bear my image. And my point is simple and hopefully clear. We have no right to minimize or marginalize the value of any human being. Honestly, some of us treat our pets with more dignity than we do certain people. Ain't that the truth? Each of us is born with an innate dignity because we are created in the image of God, and we are called to live lives that reflect the nobility of that identity. Our attitude towards every person should not devalue the image of God that is stamped on our souls. Every person is entitled to hold his or her head high and walk with certain confident steps because the God of the universe has created him or her in his image. Dignity is an important word when we talk about servant leadership. Dignity gives nobility to serving. The responsibility of every leader is to be obedient to the call and at the same time enhance the dignity of those who work with him. It is your job as a leader to cause those around you to feel their worth and value as those made in the image of God. That was so good. I don't think we operate with that top of mind that we bear the image of God and that there is dignity in that and we shouldn't devalue that based on our behavior. I think it's harder to even keep top of mind when we're dealing with difficult people, whether it's folks that you work with, folks that work for you, that you work for, whether it's customers in your business. It can be difficult to look at the person that's cussing you out as an image bearer of Christ, but we have to. It may be difficult when you are feeling shame and doubt and upset and disappointment with yourself for a decision you make to look at yourself as an image bearer of Christ. But we have to, because it reminds us of our value and of our dignity and of the value and dignity of others as well. A part that I have highlighted too that I wanted to bring up is he was talking about not promoting people or putting people in leadership roles prematurely. And he goes on to say, a lot of damage is done when the position, in quotes, becomes the identity and not a platform to advance the mission and to enhance the dignity of those who come in contact with them. I put in the margin here, I wrote, this is a mindset that's difficult to maintain without safeguarding your influences. Because as mentioned earlier, people, we have a tendency to categorize folks. When you hear somebody is a successful entrepreneur, all of a sudden your eyes might get big. You put them on a pedestal of, oh, they've done something that is admirable. So I've categorized them this way. And people will do the same thing to you. When you say you have this or you have that or whatever your title or position may be, especially if it's one that's held in high regard, people's eyes will get big and they'll start to put you on a pedestal, but you got to safeguard that and make sure that those that are around you who have the ability to influence you aren't drinking the Kool-Aid. They're people who are going to hold you accountable to understanding that you're a leader so you could serve, not so that people could serve you. So as you continue to grow in whatever area the Lord has called you to, keep this in mind as well, that you need to manage your influences too, so that people aren't just making your head big, because that'll lead you right into that temptation of pride, right into that temptation of self-reliance, right into that temptation of serving you as opposed to serving others and serving the Lord. In the next section, he introduces some examples on how Jesus led, because he believes that, of course, Jesus is the ultimate example of the type of leaders we should be. And the first place he went to was Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt perfectly to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in a place of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The author expands upon this text by saying, notice how Jesus turned this request from a mother who wanted her sons to get the recognition that she felt they deserved into a lesson about God-honoring leadership. The 10 other disciples were upset at what they considered brazen audacity and began politicking and positioning themselves for prime spots in the kingdom. Jesus used this opportunity to define true greatness. He did this by contrasting the approach and motivation of the rulers of the Gentiles with what should be the motivation of his followers. The greatness of the Gentile rulers was based on two things. The first was position. The Gentiles lorded over them, as said in verse 25. They were above the people and they let those under them know exactly where their place was. They took every opportunity to remind their subordinates that they should stay in their place. Similarly, the greatness of the Gentile rulers was based on power. Look at the expression exercise authority over them or lord over them in verse 25. They were quick to use the power they had. If you didn't do what you were told or you didn't do what was expected, there was a price to be paid. The primary leadership tool was intimidation and fear, my way or the highway. This is what Jesus defined as greatness. You must be a servant. You don't just act like a servant. You must become one. You are only ready to lead when you stop trying to prove your worth and value based upon your position and power. You are loved and embraced by your awesome God, and you cannot make him love you any more than he does. And because you are profoundly loved and valued by him, you are free to be a channel of loving blessings to others. You are free to serve. The second instance that he brought up of Jesus' leadership is found in the chapter or the scripture that opened up the chapter. But we're going to read a bit further. We're going to read John 13. 1 through 13, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that this hour had come to leave this world and to return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?'" Imagine if Jesus came to wash your feet. I'd probably be like, "You sure?" I probably would have did the same thing Peter did. But he says, Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash, except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." The author says, on this occasion, only days before he would die on the cross for their sins, Jesus did something that would not only mark the disciples for the rest of their lives, but will also be a signature of authentic Christianity and Christian leadership in particular. It was nothing short of astonishing. Jesus rose, took off his outer garments, tied a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and washed the disciples' feet. Stop and think about how the disciples felt. The creator of the universe, the everlasting Son of God, was on his knees, washing their feet. This was a holy moment. Undoubtedly, there were tears running down the cheeks and beards of those rough but ordinary men. Silence. The only sound was the water dripping off their feet into the basin. Dignity, value. That was the message. Jesus was saying by this act of service, I love you and I want you forever to know that I affirm all that God made you to be. I am your servant. But there is more. He did this as an example. Soak in John 13, 14 and 15. It says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. As a leader, you must never forget that you belong to the community of the towel and the basin. Your authority to lead is directly related to your ability to serve. When you have washed feet, the people you lead will know that you value them. Man, that right there, just reading that text, just it did something to me personally. Because as we talked about before, just really putting yourself in this and putting yourself in the disciples' shoes, this act of service that the Lord did was just, I mean, words can't describe. And I'm sure it was dead silent, as assumed by the author here, because it was just so unfathomable for anybody in a position of power to do at that time. Because as we talked about before, they had this my way or the highway attitude. So for the everlasting God to wash their feet, I'm sure they were just astonished. And for me, reading this text in modern times and just thinking about this, my heart just softens because I'm so grateful for the Lord and his servanthood. And how dare we not emulate that same example? So I'm going to end this here because I want you to go and read that and study that for yourself and put yourself in a disciple's shoes as well. And then think about how moving forward, you can move as a dignified servant, not just in business, not just in leadership, but in your life in general. I'm going to wrap this up here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.